Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you except by him. And Father, as we have an exclusive message from you, the gospel, in a culture that believes in many ways to God and many voices of truth, I pray that you would help us to stand firm for the truth. Pray that we would not do it in an angry way. We would not do it in a way that makes us look proud and puffs ourselves up, but we would do it in a way that is compelling because the truth is found in a person. And I pray, Father, that we would hear the voice of Jesus as we look at this passage today, and you would help us to use it, to love it, to know how to quell our fears and to live lives that are obedient to you. So, Father, it is our privilege to hear from your word, and I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, impress these truths on our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So our text for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. This is what God says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. What does it mean to be spiritual? Some people in our today would say that they're spiritual but not religious. And I think it should be the goal of every Christian to be spiritual. But what does it mean to be spiritual? In the Corinthian church, there was a lot of confusion about what it meant to be spiritual. And today, again, we have the same confusion, maybe in different ways, but what does it mean to be spiritual? What is the sign that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives? What is the sign that the Holy Spirit is working in our church? For example, to some, to be spiritual means that you come to church in your Sunday best every time the church doors are open, with the biggest leather-bound Bible possible, of course. For others, it means holding an official position in the church or doing something up front during the church service. For others, being spiritual means to sing and dance to upbeat Christian music with a large group of people during a worship service. It may even mean to speak in tongues or have visions of the future. For some, to be spiritual means to help those in need, the poor in society, those who are overlooked by others. For others, to be spiritual means to be as smart as possible about the Bible. Not just the Bible, but the theology and the history of the Bible. and for others to be spiritual means to come to church and to be just a little bit better than your neighbor, who clearly does not have his life together. For the Corinthians, they thought those who were spiritual were the smart people in the congregation, the leaders, especially those who had the miraculous gifts, those who spoke in tongues, those who could do miracles. Those, they thought, certainly had to be the spiritual ones. Into this confusion, Paul gives two simple tests of what it means to be spiritual. See, most translations here in verse 1 say, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Paul will talk about spiritual gifts in this chapter, in the next, and in 14 as well. But the language of verse 1 is broad. It includes spiritual gifts. You could translate it, "Now concerning what is spiritual." Spiritual gifts, spiritual people. But I think it's really broad. It includes spiritual gifts. "Now concerning what does it mean to have the Spirit? What does it mean to be spiritual?" Paul gives two tests. Number one, a spiritual person submits to Jesus as Lord. And number two, a spiritual person serves others by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first one, the first test. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means to submit to Jesus as Lord. And we find this in the first three verses. This is what Paul is saying in verses 2 and 3. Not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that looks spiritual is spiritual. And Paul says, what is spiritual is certainly not from idols. He says, you used to be led astray by idols. And you can't think that being led by an idol could be spiritual. Many of the Corinthians probably had some very wild worship experiences in their idol worship. And we know this from the Corinthian culture. So they had some wild experiences that maybe they thought were spiritual. But Paul says, no way. Those are from idols. That cannot be spiritual. What is spiritual does not come from idols. It doesn't come from yourselves. That would be a helpful critique of today's religion. We think that spirituality flows from who we are. Spirituality flows only from the Spirit of God. Someone who has the Holy Spirit can't act just any way. There's limits. And then I think what Paul does, he gives a crazy illustration. He says, imagine in your worship services, someone that has the Spirit stands up and curses Jesus Christ. You wouldn't say that that person is spiritual, would you? The answer is no, of course not. Person that curses Jesus, that's not spiritual. And I think what Paul is saying, you know, there are some limits on what is spiritual. And then he says, how can you tell that a person has the Spirit? They confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is their master. Our response, your response to Jesus Christ, is the test of whether or not you have the Spirit. Now it's clear that Paul doesn't mean whoever says the words, Jesus is Lord, has the Holy Spirit. You could program a robot, you could program your computer to say, Jesus is Lord. That computer is not spiritual. You can tell if someone has the Spirit of God if they submit their lives to the mastery of Jesus Christ. This is how one person talks about Jesus as Lord. To confess Jesus as Lord involves the whole self in an attitude of trust, obedience, commitment, loyalty, and reverence to Jesus as the Lord who has the care of one's life. What most clearly exhibits the cash currency of confessing Jesus as Lord is the speaker's acknowledgement that he or she is the slave of Jesus Christ. This is to express the unqualified trust, dependence, and obedience of a slave who is at the disposal of the one to whom he or she belongs. So what does it mean that Jesus is your Lord? That means you are slave. You owe everything to Christ. You belong to him. Or, as Paul says earlier in Corinthians, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. We do not belong to ourselves if Christ is our Lord. For you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. What does it mean to have the Spirit? It means that you are submitted to Christ as your Lord, and you owe everything to him as your Savior. But Paul doesn't really linger there. He moves on then to which will be the theme for the next several chapters. What does it mean to be spiritual? Well, it means to serve others by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like some today, the Corinthians thought that speaking in tongues and other flashy gifts were a sign that they were spiritual. And Paul has to correct this idea throughout these next three chapters. His point here is it is not just one gift that shows the Spirit is working. It is not just one gift that shows that the Spirit is working. The Spirit works through every member of the body of Christ through an amazingly diverse array of gifts. So, how do you know that you are spiritual? Well, you confess that Christ is your Lord and you are his slave, but also that you serve others by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I read through this chapter, I hope you notice the repetition. There's a lot of repetition in this chapter, and then there's a list at the end. Some people can't help but repeat themselves. We're not going to mention any names, but that's their communication style. Repetition in the Bible is for a reason. Ink, you had to make your ink by hand. Paper was expensive. You don't repeat yourself just to repeat yourself. So there's a reason for the repetition here. So we're going to see two repetitions and also a list, and we're going to talk about what those are and how they help us understand this text. So first then, we are given gifts by the triune God. We are given gifts by the triune God. Now, I'm going to read verses 4 to 6 and notice the repetition. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The point is clear. There are many ways we can serve one another, but it is the same Spirit behind every gift. Did you notice the words used of God in these verses? Verse 4, the same Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord. Verse 6, the same God. The Spirit, the Son, and the Father. That's the Trinity right there. In reverse order, normally, how we say it, Father, Son, and Spirit. Spirit, Son, and Father, all working in our lives. I think what Paul is saying here, besides the diversity, he's saying, you've got the triune God working in your life to empower you to serve others. So if you're faithfully serving Christ in the church, I want you to be very encouraged because you've got all of God's power behind you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you serve, it is no small thing. Whatever your gift is, however you're serving others, you have got God behind you. You have got God working in you, the triune God, the God of the universe, the God of salvation. I'm sure we've all had those times when you have said, you know what, I can't. I just don't have the strength to serve anymore. We must remember that we have all of God's power working in us. The Father has a plan to use you for the good of the church. Christ has rescued you from sin and made you his slave so you can serve others. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that very thing. So when the strength is lagging, when the desire is lagging, do not fear. You've got God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in your life. Christianity is supernatural. We have to have a power outside of ourselves in order for it to work. If you are a Christian and say, I don't want to serve others, then you are denying the very power that works in you of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Refusing to serve for the good of the body of Christ is nothing less than treason against the triune God. So this is very important. We are given gifts, a diversity of gifts, by the triune God. Then secondly, we are given gifts for the common good. This is how verse 7 reads in the English Standard Version. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I like that last part, for the common good. We have been equipped to serve so that we would help others in the church. We're like, Pastor, that's obvious. Well, sometimes it's not so obvious. The common good of the whole church should be our attitude and our goal in our service. Oh, I want to help others. And that's my goal as I serve. It is completely possible to serve in the church for yourself. I've done it. Pastors do it all the time. They preach and they minister to make themselves look good because we're a bunch of filthy sinners. Folks, you can serve in the church to make yourself look good. You can serve in the church not for the common good. It is entirely possible, and it happens because we're proud, because we're sinners. Now, I think that God does give us joy as we serve others, but that's not the goal. Ultimate goal is for me to feel good as I serve others. But the question we must ask is not, what is fulfilling for me in the church, but instead, what is most helpful for this church today? What promotes the common good in my church? How can I be most useful? I think maybe as I grew up, and maybe some of you feel this way too, that people act like using their spiritual gift should be easy. Like, oh, I just fall right into it. It's called serving others because it's hard, because it's work. But it's supernatural. You've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in you to help you serve. So again, I love to see you all when you serve, do it with joy in your faces, and that is what God wants. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is the good of the whole church. When I was in college, going to church in college, I became the church treasurer for a year and a half. And some of you know me, I'm not a numbers person, but I'm somewhat responsible, so it worked. I knew how to write checks, like a balance checkbook. The finances were very simple. But then after a year and a half, someone came along that was better equipped for the job, and I was so thankful to pass it off. I don't want to ever be the church treasurer again. I can't be the church treasurer here. There's so many more people that are better qualified than I am anyway. But that was what was needed at that point in the church. It was a small church plant. Remember, it is the Holy Spirit's decision how to use you, according to His will. So don't be afraid to be used outside your comfort zone. We are given gifts for the common good by the triune God. Then thirdly, we are given gifts in all sorts of ways. We are given gifts in all sorts of ways. In verses 8 and 9, there is some more repetition. And I have to confess, I kind of geeked out over the grammar in these verses. So if you're not a grammar person, you can tune out for like a minute. But I hope this will be for the common good. The meaning of verses 8 and 9 is very clear, whatever translation you have. Everyone is equipped by the same Spirit with a spiritual gift. And I think, Cody, if you put that on the screen, next slide. There. So I'm going to read this. For to one, is given through the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to a different one, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, the King James translates all the underlined words as by, but there are actually three different prepositions used. Again, this, you have to like grammar to enjoy this. Through the Spirit, according to the Spirit, and by the Spirit. Then there are different words used of the person who receives the gifts. To one, to another, to a different one. What is the deal? Paul is using different styles of grammar to show that the Spirit has different styles of working through believers. Again, the meaning is clear, whatever translation you have. But I like how Paul, in his own little way, mixes it up as he writes to show, you know what? There's not one standard way that the Spirit works. He works in many different ways. So that's the repetition, why it's there. Now we have a list. And I told you this was coming. Paul gives a list of some of the spiritual gifts that are given. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, their interpretation of tongues. Why does Paul give this list? Why does he give it here? I know we love lists. Maybe you don't love lists, but everyone I know makes lists. We make a list of everything we need to get when we go shopping. We make a list of everything we want to happen in 2017. When we make a list, it shows completeness. Okay, this list shows everything that I want at the grocery store. Our lists define, they give definition to what we want to do or happen. This is not how this list is being used. Paul doesn't define these gifts. He starts out with two, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. What's the difference? What are these? I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I don't know. I just don't know what the difference between these two are. But they are different and the Spirit gives them. These are not all the gifts that the Spirit gives either. We'll find some at the end of 12 and in other chapters of the Bible. This is not an exclusive list. The point of this list is to show that one Spirit empowers all Christians to serve in many different ways. One Spirit empowers all Christians to serve in so many different ways. And verse 11 can be read like this. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he will. So the list is showing there are so many different ways, but there's one Spirit. You ask, Pastor, well, what about tongues? What about prophecy? What about miracles? Yes, they're here. They're in this chapter. But these miraculous gifts were only for the beginning of the church, and we will touch on that later. But don't let the miraculous gifts distract you from the point of this passage. If you are a believer, there is one Spirit that has equipped you to serve others in the body of Christ. The question of this passage is not, is the gift of tongues for today? The question that this passage seeks to answer is, are you using the gift the Spirit has given you? We must remember the Spirit works in so many different ways in the body. I think one way we must be very careful in our church is that we don't equate serving in the church with holding a position in the church. That we don't say, in order for you to serve, you got to hold a position in the church. Right? And it's possible to fill a position at a church and do nothing for the common good. Sadly, that does happen sometimes. It is also possible to have no official position in the church and be a tremendous blessing to the whole church. I want us to remember that there's a huge variety of ways that the Spirit works in our body. So if you have an official position, bless others through that. If you don't, keep on blessing others anyway. So don't say, well, you got to have a position in order to serve. No, there's many ways in which we can serve. So I think about the official ministry of the church, those who help in the services and help administrate the church. But I also think about those who come to church early and talk to people. That's not a position in the church, by the way. But if you want it, come to me and we can make it, you know, you are the talker before the morning service. But no, I am so encouraged by people who come early, stay late, people that make phone calls and write cards during the week, the people that take others out for dinner to encourage them in the Lord. These are things that must happen that have no official position in the church, but must happen for our church to grow. So whatever your role in the church, there are many ways to bless others. To give you two illustrations, we had Friday we had Joanne Craig's funeral service here, and I had scheduled a man to run sound. And that Friday, two other people showed up to run sound too. So it was discouraging to know that many people wanted to help. I'm not sure what it says about me that they think I can't schedule a sound guy, but it was encouraging to know that all these people showed up and wanted to help. And then at the dinner, after the service, there was three ladies sitting next to each other at my same table, and the lady in the middle was going through a hard time in her life, and the two ladies on the outside, kind of, you could see that they turned in and they listened and they talked and they encouraged for a long time. That was not scheduled, okay? That wasn't scheduled. Oh, we must have this ladies' ministry where we minister to one another. No, it just happened. They didn't know what was happening. I don't think they planned for it. It happened. Those kind of things are encouraging to me to see, you know what? There are things that the Holy Spirit does. We didn't plan and we didn't schedule and we don't have a ministry for it. Those are the things that need to happen in our church along with the official things as well. So if every Christian is empowered by the Spirit to serve, then how are you serving? You don't need to know your spiritual gift in order to serve. When I was in college, people made a big deal. They had these things called spiritual gift tests, and you can take them and say, "What of the 21 spiritual gifts, what one do you have?" You don't need to know that. Find a need and meet it. Maybe you have more than one gift. I don't know. Do your gifts change? But you have at least one. It's interesting to know that people come to me and say, "Pastor, did you see that? The person in need, or did you see that thing?" Maybe you're the only one who saw that. And maybe God is saying, you need to meet that because you're the one who saw it. It's interesting to see what people see happening in the church. And if you see a need, I would encourage you, if you can, go meet that, because maybe you're the only one who sees it. If you want to come to talk to me and say, "Pastor, I have this, I want to serve, give me some direction." I love that. That's fine. Pray that God will show you. I think that's very important too. Find a person in need and go bless them. So this is very important. Don't focus on what you can't do. Say, "Pastor, I'm laid up. I can't do that. I have to travel." I think about our shut-ins. They can minister by prayer. They can, I know some of them call people. Some of them write cards. So don't let your situation in life keep you from serving. Don't ask what you can't do. Don't say, "Well, I need to do what that other person does. All the men in our church do this, or all the ladies in our church do this." What can you do with how God has empowered you to do? So, application then. Gifts, guilt, and the grace of God. Gifts, guilt, and the grace of God. Every one of you in the pews, all of us, we need all the gifts in the body. The body needs your gifts. Your gifts are needed by us. Think about it. It may take 10 people in this month to help you where you are. It might take the whole church to get you through a trial to help you grow in the Lord. I'm not sure, but you know what? Who knows? God knows. It is extreme arrogance and pride to think you can make it in the Christian life by yourself without the whole body of Christ behind you. And it is treason against God to think that the body does not need your gifts. If you are not serving for the common good, let's call it what it is, it's sin. You have been placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit to serve others. If you are not, you are denying the power of the triune God working in you and robbing your brothers and sisters in Christ. You should feel guilty. You know, that's often where this stops. You need to serve more. And if you're not serving, you say, oh, you know, I feel guilty that I'm not serving. Pastor's talking about serving again. Well, they must need help in the nursery. Maybe I'll try, see if I can help out in some way. And, you know, you have that lingering guilt, and then by next Sunday, it's gone. If your lack of serving others is indeed a sin, then ignoring it and the guilt that comes with it is not what you should do. When we have guilt for a sin, we should repent. You should change your mind and your actions. You may need to change the way you live in order to serve others better. When you feel guilty about not serving or about not doing more, if it is legitimate guilt, if it is actually guilt for a sin, then let the guilt lead you to repentance. Let the guilt lead you to the cross. Let your guilt lead you to Jesus, who has forgiven all of your sins by his death. That is how we become a Christian, and that's how we live in the Christian life. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. I don't want any of you to feel guilty. I don't want any of you to serve because you feel guilty. Like, that is awful motivation. Like, I want you to serve because you love God and love others. I want you to serve because you have been saved by the free and powerful grace of God. I want you to serve because you have embraced your identity as a member of the body of Christ. I want you to serve because you know that the Spirit has empowered you to serve others. That is why we serve. That's why 1 Corinthians 12. That is why we serve. That's how we serve. So you have been called by the Father, you have been saved by the Son, and you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit in order to serve. That is the reason, the motivation for us to serve one another. Yeah, if there's guilt, if there's a legitimate guilt, take it to the cross and repent. The new life that we have in Jesus, the new life that is given by the Holy Spirit, is lived out in a community of believers. We cannot do this by yourself. We need you. We need you. Singular. We need you. Every one of you. I need you. I need all of you, because I'm a part of this body, just like you. You need me. I have something unique to contribute because I'm a member of the body of Christ. Not because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a member of the body of Christ. You need us. You need us. Every one of you needs us together. The Spirit works in each one of us for the common good. That's what it means to be spiritual. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the work of the triune God in each one of us. Thank you, Father, that you have called us to salvation. Thank you that you have a grand plan to use us for your glory in this local church. Thank you for the rescue of Jesus Christ, that he died so that we may die to sin and become a slave of Jesus. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to each one of us who believe, so that we can serve one another. So, Father, I pray that 1 Corinthians 12 would be realized in our congregation. Thank you for everyone and each one who serves and for their faithfulness. Thank you for the joy that it is to serve you and to serve one another. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.